Job chapter 9 and verse 1 to chapter 10 and verse 22. In these two chapters, Job is replying to Bildad. And although he does speak to Bildad, the vast majority of his words are taken up with addressing God himself. But he opens by addressing Bildad. "Yes, Bildad, I've listened to you," verses 1 and 2 of chapter 9. "I've heard all that before. But you see, my issue is this. I haven't got to wrestle with you. How can I win my case? How can I present my case? How can I overcome with God?" Verse 2. "How can anyone argue with him?" And he begins to speak of the immensity and the power and the glory and the wisdom of God. How can anyone argue with him? He can ask 1,000 questions that no one could ever answer. Verse 4, "God is so wise and powerful. No man can stand up against him. He has this sense of God, and he's crying out. God can move mountains. God can destroy flattened mountains. He can send earthquakes and shake the ground. He can rock the pillars that support the earth." He's speaking in figurative language, of course. God is the God of tsunamis and earthquakes. Tremendous power does God possess. Verse 7, "He can keep the sun from rising. He can keep the stars from shining at night. God is in control. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the ruler. When God created the world, you know." Verse 9. And verse 8 and 9. When he created the universe, he didn't ask anybody. He didn't take anybody's opinion. He didn't have a consultation. He didn't go out to bring in the consultants to help him. God hung the stars in the sky. The Great Bear, Orion, the Pleiades, the great constellations. God is infinite in wisdom. We cannot understand the great things he does. Verse 10. "And to his miracles, his powers, his wonders, there is no end." And of course, God is inscrutable. He passes by, verse 11, "and I cannot see him." No one can question him. His power is irresistible. His anger is constant. He knows how to bring down his enemies. "So I come back," he says to verse 14. "So how can I find words to answer God? Though I'm innocent," and in this case he is, of course. He's not here because he's a sinner. He is a sinner, as all men are. The Lord Jesus is the only man who ever lived who was never a sinner. But Job is not in this trial because of his sin, quite the opposite. It's because he's a godly man, and God is using him as a sounding board to show what his power, his wisdom, his grace will stand. You see, even though I've got a good case, in this respect he has, all I can do, verse 15, is beg for mercy from God my judge. Let me pause here. Who should be listening to this? Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the word of God. We should learn from this and gain instruction from it and warning and so on. But this is a word for the unbeliever. Is there an unbeliever listening to me? My friend, you need this kind of talk. You need this kind of understanding. You think you're so great. You think you're the master. You think you're in control. But you're in the hands of God. Your breath is in his hands. He created you. He made you. He formed you. He's going to judge you. You should get a sense of Job's understanding here. Job's understanding. See the greatness of God. Look at the creation of God. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. It's crying out day and day in, day out, night in and night out. Everything is declaring the glory of God. And we're small. Job sees this. But Job has got it wrong here. God is not tormenting him needlessly. He says, verse 17, there's no reason at all behind all this. No, no, no. Job can speak of the bitterness of his life. But he said, I can't force my way into God, nor can you, unbeliever. You can't force your way. I can't take him to court. He's right, you see. Even though I feel I've got a good case, and this is Job speaking here. Brother and sister, let us learn from Job here. We are dependent on his grace and mercy. Unbeliever, you haven't got a good case at all. Job is speaking of a special instance here, this particular circumstance. We're all sinners. And therefore God will condemn us. Job is reaching the end of his life here, he feels. And he wants to come to the end of it. And then he got a wrong view of God here. When an innocent man suddenly dies, God laughs. He gave the world to the wicked. He made all the judges blind. God is sovereign. Well, there's truth in what Job is saying, but he's got a very jaundiced view here. Brother and sister, we can get a wrong view of God. We can misunderstand him. We can judge the Lord by feeble sense. Blind unbelief is sure to err. Unbeliever, your views of God are wrong. Yes, we have warped, twisted, distorted views of God. Job knows his days are racing by, verse 25. My life passes like the swiftest boat. And he feels they're going like an eagle, swooping down a rabbit, just hurtling down. His life is going away from him. Well, perhaps I'll smile it off. I'll laugh it off and pretend it's not happening. Verse 27 to 28. I'll take the Christian Science line and pretend it's not happening to me. No, no, no. The anguish comes back. The suffering comes back. God is holding me guilty. And there's nothing I can do about it. Job is misunderstanding God, but again he's right. There's no soap to wash away sin. We can wash away the outside, but we cannot wash away the heart. No soap can wash away my sins, verse 30. Nothing. There's no way I can answer him. And in verse 33, we get one of those amazing questions and thoughts and wishes. It's come up in the first verse. How can a man be right with God? You see, that's the great question. Unbeliever, that's the question you should be asking. How can you make more money and have better health and better pensions? But how can I be right with God? I must be right with God. And Job knows he can't in himself. And in verse 33, he longs for what used to be called a day's man, an umpire, a mediator, someone to stand in between. Job doesn't know this, but in the days of the New Covenant, and I'm a gospel preacher, I can tell you there is a mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God in human flesh. Christ came into the world to live as a man under the law of God and to die for sinners and to rise again for their justification. And all who put their trust in the Lord Jesus have a mediator between them and God, one who will bring them to God and present them faultless in his presence. He ever lives to make intercession for his people. That's the answer to Job. It's the answer to you, unbeliever. You need an umpire. You need a day's man. You need a mediator. There is one. There is only one. I am the way, said Jesus. The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, I can tell Job that. Of course, he's living so many centuries before all these days. But the gospel is here now. Christ has come. Unbeliever, there is a mediator, the Lord Jesus. Job goes on in chapter 10. He's tired of living. He wants to die. He knows that God is sovereign. He knows that God made him. He knows that God formed him in his mother's body. He knows that he's been brought into life. He knows that God has brought him this far. But he knows he's a sinner. And yet he feels his case is not being answered. He's longing for this day's man again. He feels that God is against him and angry with him. And he cries out, why do you let me be born? You wish he'd never seen the light of day. And he longs for some days of peace and enjoyment before he dies, verse 20 of chapter 10. I am going soon and will never come back. And he wants for peace and quietness here. Now, there's much here which is wrong. Job misunderstands. I quite understand why he misunderstands. I appreciate that. But not everything here is right, Job. But you've asked some very big questions. You've raised some enormous issues. And they are desperately needed today. How can we be right with God? Who will bring us to God? Can we get there ourselves? No. Can our own hands save us? Not what these hands have done. Can our own works? No. Job understands that. And he longs for an umpire, a mediator. And my privilege in this short discourse to conclude here now is to say this. There is an umpire. There is a mediator. There is a day's man. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one. There is no other. And all who trust in him, whatever their sins, whatever their problems, whatever their sorrows, whatever their issues, have peace with God. Job is a very dramatic case. Saul of Tarsus at Damascus, that was a very dramatic case in his conversion. Forget the drama, my friend. Look at the principles. Here are men who know they have to be made right with God, and they find rightness with God through the Lord Jesus. Will you learn from Job now? Brother and sister, we, for all our misunderstandings, have one who presents us faultless before the presence of God. Whenever Satan tempts us to despair, we look up and see the Lord Jesus there, and all is well. An unbeliever, I plead with you again, come to the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and come now.